Alleluia. 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 The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury. And he noticed a poor widow putting in two small coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the opening prayer for the feast of St. Catherine, we ask God through her intercession to grant us the grace of faith and constancy so that we might spend ourselves in His service. To have faith as we just finished this year of faith, to have constancy, to have that grace of perseverance so that we might be all in. Not just give a little part of ourselves, but spend ourselves totally in the Lord's service. And today on this feast, we have in the readings and in the life of St. Catherine three incredible examples of the type of generosity to which the Lord calls us all as His disciples. The type of generosity that He has shown to us first and called us to imitate. In the Gospel, we have this famous scene of the widow's mite. Jesus was in the temple. He noticed all the rich people putting in large sums. I've explained before how the temple treasury worked. Up at the top, where you would put in your money, was a huge funnel, kind of like the opening of a tuba. And then you'd put the money in there, and it would ring all the way down the tuba into the bottom, which is where there would be a secure box for all the coins. And when you were rich and you put in a lot of coins, denarii, there was no paper money at the time. They didn't have printing presses or anything else like that. It was always coins. Rich people would put in large sums of coins and make what we would say a lot of noise. Then this poor widow comes on up, and Jesus, who could always see the heart, knew what her situation was, and she put in two lepta, is the Greek term to refer to the coin that she put in. Each lepta in today's value would be worth a third of a penny. So she put in two-thirds of one penny, and Jesus didn't remark on all the other people who had put in much larger sums that day. But he pointed out the generosity of this widow. It's a lesson that obviously the disciples who wrote down the story for us have never forgotten. Again, it teaches us a very important lesson in the Christian life, that what matters to God is not the sum we give per se, but the sacrifice we make. Not so much how much we give, but how much we have left over. And it leads us all to a question of how generous we are with the things of God. There are currencies far more valuable than money. But money is a sign of what we really do value. You know, as I mentioned about a year ago, the average American Catholic gives 0.7% of his or her income to the church, equals $2.36 a week. Now, for some people to give $2.36 when they're on a really tight fixed income would be a massive sacrifice. But it's less than a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And that's the average. And there are a lot of people who can give way more than that, but just don't. Because at a practical level, people care more about cable, people care more about coffee, people care more about their pleasures than they do about advancing the kingdom of God. Now, I was very moved last month when a woman who I know to be clearly poor in our parish, I don't know how poor she is, but poor. She came up to me and she gave me an envelope and she said, "Please give this, Father, to the poor." I wanted to hand it straight back to her. She had $100 in that envelope. It was like somebody had just given me $1 million, because I could tell that that was how much it cost this woman. But she was thinking about others. Faith and constancy in spending ourselves for the kingdom. In the first reading from the book of Daniel, we see the selection of Daniel and the three men who became famous in the fiery service, Ananias, Azariah, and Mishael. What we see there is a total generosity toward the Lord. Yesterday we celebrated the solemnity of Christ the King, and that this isn't just an acknowledgement of who our leader is, but to celebrate this reality well, we must be full-time, totally committed to that King's service. Not as a raw duty, but out of love. And we see with these four men who were chosen that even though they could have been killed for eating from the king's table, they asked to eat differently. Why was that such a big deal? Because oftentimes the king would eat meat sacrificed to idols, meat that had an idolatrous beginning. And so, lest they be defiled in the least way, even though they weren't going to be eating cheap food and drinking cheap wine, they accounted their fidelity to the Lord the most important thing of all. We'll be following the story of Daniel over the course of the entire week, how he kept his fidelity in the midst of a very pagan situation. And as he rose up in the king's service, it was very easy for him and the others to become corrupted, because there was wealth all around them, pleasure all around them, all types of comforts around them, but they never caved in. We won't cover the famous scene of the three others, because of their fidelity, being thrown into the white-hot furnace because they wouldn't adore Nebuchadnezzar as if he were God. But yet, they did it confident in the Lord, and we see that the Lord himself rescued them. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Catherine of Alexandria, one of the most influential female saints who has ever lived. Throughout the Middle Ages, so many churches were built to her. She was a model, particularly for women, because she spent herself in the Lord's service. First is, even though she was still a pagan, when she started to recognize who the true God was, she made a total commitment of herself to him. In virginity, she said that the Lord was going to get her whole heart. Even though she had no disparagement for the gift of marriage, she knew that she wanted to give everything over to God, to place herself fully in his service. St. Ambrose, one of the early saints, on the feast of St. Agnes, had once said, "She was a martyr because she was a virgin." Because that choice to give herself wholly and entirely over to God in the little things, saying no to certain normal pleasures, marriage and family, it's one of the great natural gifts that God gives. But the capacity to say no even to those great goods allow us to say no even to the greater good of our own survival. That it's the love that we show in these little things that can toughen us to remain loving and faithful in the most difficult moments. And that's what we see with St. Catherine of Alexandria from the time she was a teenager. From the time even before she was a Christian, she was ready to give all. And then she knew, especially with women, that there was a great need for learning. And so she spent herself in the Lord's service learning all of the ancient philosophy and all of the ancient theology she could. This wasn't, until recent times, something common for women to do. Another reason why she became so famous, because she set an example for women to use the mind that God had given them, to really learn the truth so that they could pass it on. She became so famous that, as the hagiography about her says, we don't know if it's 100% accurate because it was written 500 years after she died. And if I were to write a day-by-day diary even of George Washington today, there'd be a lot of fabrications involved because I wasn't there. Multiply that by a factor of two, and so we've got some questions about the reliability of the account. But the Emperor Maxentius didn't like the fact that this woman was a better philosopher than some of the pagans in his own retinue. So basically he had a competition in which she triumphed in the debate. The people who were vanquished wanted her head. And so eventually they tried to make her a martyr. It didn't work the first time. Maxentius tried to win her in another way by saying, I'll commute your sentence if you'll marry me. She said, thanks, but no thanks, Emperor. And she was eventually beheaded. But here was a person who was all in to the Lord's service, an example of faith and constancy in spending her entire being for God and for others. So now it comes to us. How generous are we with our time? Is Christ really the King of our time? I hope so. Will we sacrifice to do things that are inconvenient on our own schedule for the Lord? Not just that we make some time for Him, but do we allow Him to write our appointment book? Second, how generous are we with the material resources that He's given us? Would Jesus be able to pull aside the same apostles He had in the temple precincts and say, look at your son, look at your daughter at St. Bernadette's? So many other people give from their surplus, but that person gives from what the person really needs, a true sacrifice. The Lord should be able to say that about us all. You know, this came home for me. I mean, I am a director for a whole bunch of consecrated women who are struggling financially. And while it was getting cold, I became aware that they were able to heat their building 2 hours a day, so that they were looking for some industrial space heaters to be able to sort of save in their big dormitory where most of these students who are in consecrated formation sleep. And so I asked how much each of them would be. I was told. So I said, buy them on Monday. I'll give you the money. And I wrote out a check, more than a month's salary. And then the woman who's the director sent me an email and she said, Father, I'm sorry, I was off by $600. And so that hurts. But I said, okay, go for it and I'll bring you the check. Little did I know that I would be going to hear confessions and presenting the check on the day in which we'd get the widow's mite for the gospel. But are we capable of making sacrifices for others? Giving until it hurts. That's the Christian life. Today, as every day when we come to daily Mass, we learn the lesson, not in a gospel scene per se, because we don't have this gospel every day, but we have the gospel with a capital G, the gospel incarnate on the altar, who gives himself down to the last drop of his blood for us and our salvation. This is where we learn how to love for real. As we venerate our great King, Christ the King, let us ask Him to hear that prayer we said to the Father, so that with faith and perseverance we might spend ourselves down to the last lepta out of love for Him in imitation of His generosity for others. Praise be Jesus Christ. Long live Christ the King.